Hi everyone, this is Karan.
And I'm Yashasvi.
And we are Bad and Bollywood.
And it's Dhoom time in Bad and Bollywood. And you know what that means? We bring back our favorite bike expert, Siddharth Merchant.
What up? I'm here because we really need to discuss bikes and I have no idea about them. And neither do the guys who made the movie. So let's go.
And it's Dhoom 2 because we've done Dhoom 1 already.
I will say this. You don't have to worry about not knowing about bikes because the movie barely has any bikes. There is two scenes with some bike racing. The climax maybe has a full bike chase, but besides that, they're either on helicopters, in water, Hrithik's dressed up as a statue, or he's the queen. There's no bike.
Did you forget? I think you forgot the rollerblades part of it.
Oh, yeah. Imagine being outrun by rollerblades. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Hey, rollerblading is cool, okay.
Imagine writing that report to your superiors. You know, the suspect got away on rollerblades and the guy's just reading it you couldn't catch him when he was on rollerblades. You had a helicopter.
Honestly, we can get into this at some point later, but I just want to say this, it wouldn't be surprising if Jay and Ali came to me and said we didn't catch the thief, because they seem to be doing that all the fucking time. I don't think they've ever caught a thief, and everyone keeps talking about Jay like he's this amazing cop. But what is his resume? He didn't catch the last thief. The last thief killed himself. Then this thief also, and you guys have watched Dhoom 2. It didn't end good for him. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, but you guys said that bikes and bike racing wasn't really a thing in this movie, which is what sucks. But doesn't that remind you of another big franchise?
Okay, don't
where car racing was the soul of it.
I mean, at least it went with car racing for 3 movies, and then started diverging. But I mean, stopping at the second iteration of the movie itself, okay, we did bikes, we're not the bike movie anymore.
Controversial opinion. I prefer the franchise when it stopped being about car racing. That's just my personal... I liked when it became a heist movie. Because then, it doesn't make sense. They're going to have a race every movie. Every movie. It's just going to be about racing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
That's what
in
I always...
Rush Hour 1, it's about Rush Hour. In Rush Hour 2, it's about Rush Hour. And in 3, it's also about Rush Hour. Not that outlandish.
I love that in Fast and Furious 5, because they went so long, and it's my personal favorite, okay, I'm biased, but they went so long without a car race that literally at one point they were like, let's just get in cop cars and race down 1 mile of road just so that we can justify calling this Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I don't know, man. For me, Fast and Furious dropped off after Tokyo Drift. Just because,
For me,
it's like that meme, where banana?
For me,
we're racing.
But anyway, speaking about Dhoom, I have a question to ask you right at the start, the first scene, right? So Hrithik Roshan, his whole character is that he works alone. Hrithik Roshan doesn't work with anyone. He's a sole person. He thinks that, if you work with someone, they'll betray you, all this stuff. Who is flying the helicopter in the opening shot then when he jumps from it? Because he jumps from a helicopter and then he gets on the train.
So you don't understand. It's like a Bonnie and Clyde situation. The guy flying the helicopter is John.
This kind of reminds me of shit that we used to do while testing Ghost Recon, where you just fly the chopper and then when you reach your destination, you just yeet out and let the chopper crash somewhere else and you parachute down into the base. I feel like that's what he went for. I feel like that's the vibe I got.
But I would agree.
Ghost Recon, I agree.
I would agree.
Me exactly of Ghost Recon.
But I would agree.
See, who's going to see a chopper crash in the desert? Yeah, who's going to see it in the desert, man?
Don't you think his budget for when he steals stuff, he's supposed to earn a little money off of it, but his entire budget isn't crashing helicopters, so that's why he has to keep stealing again and again?
Oh yeah, that does make sense.
But I mean, we don't know that Hrithik could be investing in stocks and stuff, and I think. That's how he's making
it. He sure looks like the kind of guy who invests in stocks. rollerblade stocks. But we digress, because the movie starts off with perhaps my favorite costume party. where it's very fucking clearly Hrithik Roshan dressed up as the queen, which I like, you know. I'm into that.
That's Hrithik. That's Hrithik, though. Like, Hrithik only looks like Hrithik no matter what you do to his face. Like, no one looks like Hrithik Roshan. So it's really bizarre when he's doing an outfit because you're like, that's the most Hrithik Roshan looking queen ever. Like, it just, it's not possible to disguise him.
Also, it's just this, this one dialogue really messed with me was that if I can see this, the skies from here, they can see this from the skies. And I'm like, yes, that's how vision works. That's how line of sight exists.
Yeah, the, the dialogue in this, Jesus Christ, made no sense.
So, Hrithik dressed up as the queen steals the Kohinoor diamond, which is a fantasy for many Indian boys and girls. You know, just, you ever thought of it like, you know, this random fantasy of just stealing the Kohinoor because you can?
Yeah, I think that's what they were playing. They were playing that out. They were playing that out. They were the Yash Raj, you know, the big corporation, Yash Raj, were like, man, you know, ever since I was a little kid, the one thing I needed in my life was a diamond. So, yeah, that's why they put that in there.
Anyway. Yeah, and plus, what the hell was the Kohinoor doing on a train in the middle of a desert, which I assume is either Egypt or, like, somewhere in the Middle East? What?
It's a very, very selective mode of transportation over there. Like, and then, you know, this is what, like, I think they were trying to go for it. Like, he has a gimmick every time he escapes from the cops. So he boogie boarded the first time. It wasn't even a sandboard. It was a boogie board.
Oh, wait. It was a boogie board made out of Kevlar, apparently. Because, like, he's deflecting bullets with it.
Oh, ridiculous. Man, and also, someone pointed this out when we were doing the watch party, right? Like, he's not dodging their bullets. Like, he's literally going in one straight line along with the train just at an angle. And they
Honestly, that's a trend. That's a trend in the entire movie. Like, I thought about that, like, for a lot of scenes. If, even the scene immediately after the train scene with Abhishek Bachchan on the jet ski, he's just going in a straight line. And all of them, each and every person in this movie, shoots like Yashasvi. It's just like, it's, I don't get it.
A little slander. Like,
it's just... I got, look, I got a few headshots in the last game, okay? Machi. So, like,
it's just like,
go there.
It's
just
because, like,
you shot yourself in the head in the game doesn't mean it's called a headshot. Let's not get carried away.
It was statistically, that's fantastic. Like, I don't think anyone's managed to do that except me. Can you be such a bad shot that you shot yourself in the head?
It was so bad. Like, the guy is walking at him in a straight line. And, like, the bullets, they're not even grazing him. They're, like, at least a meter away from him in all sides, in all directions. And I'm like, okay then. Yes.
Yeah, it was worse than stormtroopers. Legit worse than stormtroopers at that part. Because they...
Yeah, that's why...
It's not like
that's why I went with the Yashasvi reference, you know, because worse than stormtroopers equals Yashasvi, so...
Wow. Yeah, Yashasvi, someone that doesn't game at all. I agree. You suck.
Gamer Karan. Karan's gaming handle is K and the at sign and R and then the at sign and like the dollar sign or something.
Oh, I was trying to figure out this is like email ID.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be the name?
No, that's Machis.
What? Okay. But yeah, like, just like, also just to go back to the train scene, another thing that really messed with me is that the entire scene on the roof of the train, inertia has not been accounted for. Man does a backflip, lands in the same spot that he did start of the backflip.
They're traveling ahead. While they're jumping, they're also matching the velocity of the train. So they just keep landing at the same spots. It's fucking nuts.
But it kind of reminds me of that time where Dominic Toretto jumped off a car traveling at 200 kilometers per hour, somehow added to that acceleration and himself traveled at 200 kilometers per hour, caught someone who was flying midair and then landed on a car.
Yeah. This is from Fast 1, right? The truck scene?
Six.
On Fast 6.
Is 6. Okay, no, this kind of reminds me of Fast 1 where Paul Walker was stuck on the truck and then he jumps back onto the thing.
But that looked a lot more realistic.
I mean, the distance between the vehicles was very small, so it's understandable, but like, yeah, it was just so stupid. I couldn't figure it out. Yeah. And why were the bellboys in the trains armed? Like,
why were they armed?
I mean, that's I not mean, MI6 or MI7 or whatever the hell the organization is.
Does the Queen have MI6 backup? Or does anyone in the chat know? No one's in the chat anyways.
Does anyone in the chat know? Okay, so I'm going to introduce this next scene because I think it's important. It's very crucial that we all get to experience Uday Chopra. So I...
It is?
Yeah, it's very important for everyone in existence to know that Uday Chopra exists. And you know what I'll say? Because I said this last time, and I remember in the first episode that we did that Dhoom 2, Uday Chopra is really annoying. Like, he was very tolerable in Dhoom 1. Didn't even hate him in Dhoom 2, I'll be honest. I didn't hate him.
Because you know why? Mm. Abhishek Bachchan's the real problem here.
Mm.
Like, Abhishek Bachchan's the annoying part of the two, you know, because you have a stoic guy and you have a funny guy, like in Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights.
Mm.
In Rush Hour, you have a stoic guy and a funny guy. In here, you have an annoying guy and an annoying guy, and one of them is more annoying than the other. The annoying one is Abhishek Bachchan.
Yeah. and Uday Chopra had some lines that legit made me laugh, because there's a part where he says, you know, where they're like, they find out that what he's giving them is not cocaine. He's like, "Arey sir, apne powder pucha tha to cocaine ho ya synthol, kya farak padta hai?" Which I was like, "Oh, that's funny. That's good." You know, God, my standards are low now.
Honestly, low. I just like bringing that up. I think you should probably get a COVID test because you obviously have not tested.
I saw that one.
Because I laughed.
I'm not gonna lie. There's a few things that he said. He's relentless though. That's the problem with Uday Chopra, is that he doesn't stop talking in a scene. There's no silence, and I think that's his role because Abhishek Bachchan is so quiet that they're like, well, he's got to keep talking. But their dynamic worked less for me in Dhoom 1. It was like kind of entertaining, their dynamic, but in this I was like, nah, I'm not feeling it.
It was kind of, it went from rom com kind of vibe between them in Dhoom 1 to like this. You know, old married couple, but not as funny in Dhoom 2.
Yeah, it felt like they regressed. Like they knew each other less, and they were still doing the same stuff where Ali's like, "Oh, you still don't trust me." It didn't change. Like the relationship wasn't like one where they were now finally friends. Also, the thing that annoys me is like Uday Chopra, his whole gimmick in this duo is that, you know, like he's undercover as a gunda. Like, that's all he does. And at some point, people are going to be like, "Bro, you're a fucking cop only. Why do you keep showing up?"
You know what it's like?
What?
It's a lot like the show Friends.
Oh, don't do this.
See, because like in Friends, like in the earlier seasons, at least from what I hear, Joey was supposed to be like a funny character who also had other traits.
Hmm.
But in Dhoom 1, Uday Chopra did have like other character traits apart from being like the funny Mawali. But then they realized that's what worked in Dhoom 1, so they only made him the funny Mawali with no other character traits.
Yeah. Ali had like a full backstory. He had actual things that he wanted to do. He had conflict and stuff. Here he's just like there for the jokes about every moment. So it's like, okay, who is he then?
Honestly, I'm trying to figure out what character traits you guys saw in the first movie because I just didn't see them. For me, I'm just looking at a straight line happening.
He liked bike racing in the first movie. One. That's a character trait.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't imply that he doesn't like bike racing in this movie, but like, maybe it's like taking a back seat or something for him because now he's.
You said I have no taste. This is the kind of fucking.
But yeah, like overall, honestly, for me, in this movie, I just couldn't stand him. I found myself like getting. Like undeservedly annoyed at his performance. Like I don't think that should have happened, but it was happening, and I just couldn't fucking deal with it. Like why is this guy? It kind of reminded me of that guy in Golmaal. What's his name? Tushar Kapoor.
Tushar Kapoor. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was the same energy going on there, and it was just like, "Oh, dude, just stop, man. Just get shot already or something."
Same arc, by the way. Like even Tushar Kapoor was kind of joyed. Where Tushar Kapoor in the first movie was kind of funny because like they didn't overdo the gimmick, I feel like. And in the second one, his whole like he was just there for that punchline where he would say something, and I was like, okay, this is okay. Bus, now stop. I think I'll do the same thing. But it's like, please stop.
Yeah, but now you get introduced to Bipasha Basu, who is the cop.
Oh God!
Okay, you know, it was really promising. Yeah, it's really promising when she gets introduced, because you know she's a cop, a very effective cop and very efficient and stuff like that. And you'd think she'd have a very positive impact on a movie about heists, right? So she's going to be there for the rest of the movie.
Just to add in over there the scene with her shooting the target. If you do that, you're probably not going to get certified for field work.
What was she doing? Was she fucking like...
like testing recoil or some shit? Oh, okay, this is the recoil. This is the sway. I need to figure this out.
She hit everything but the bullseye in that one for some reason.
Like seriously, that would paint you as incapable of handling yourself in the field, because you have no precision in your shots. You cannot keep firing at the same target.
But she does have Dhoom, so... that's what's important. You gotta have Dhoom.
Sorry about that. I mean, honestly, does anyone have Dhoom in this one?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking this, like, in the first movie, you know how the Tata Young has that song, right? I feel like they told Tata Young that Dhoom means sex. So that song is, like, super sexual. And I'm like, I don't think Dhoom means that. I'm not sure what Dhoom means. I don't think it means dancing in cement with John Abraham.
Did you guys see it with English subtitles, by the way?
Yeah.
No.
I did, yeah. And it says, every time Dhoom Machale comes on, it says, create excitement.
create excitement.
It's funny that it says that, because this movie really fails to do that for me. There was very little excitement. So Bipasha Basu, here's my problem, right? Just as we just mentioned, they have this cop, you know? And you would think it would add a different dynamic, because we've seen Ali and Abhishek, right, in the first one. So having a third person there would add a different dynamic. Each of them would have different kind of roles or whatever. No, because she's just not there in the second half, because they replaced her with her twin.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, her twin's really dumb and isn't going to contribute to the plot at all. So fuck Bipasha. We don't give a shit. And she's not even there in Dhoom 3, right? So it's not like Sonali comes back in Dhoom 3 is like a recurring character.
Yeah, what was she in the movie for? Like, what was her role in the movie? Because it didn't like accomplish anything. Was she just there to be like the person who gives the briefing? That too, she didn't even give a good briefing, because apparently she couldn't see a pattern, but Abhishek Bachchan can see a pattern within like a minute.
So that's dumber than Abhishek Bachchan. If you're dumber than Abhishek Bachchan.
I want to get into this, right? His uncoding of A's code, which is just based on like numerology or something, because he's just like, okay, so I've noticed this guy's pattern. He does a chori at a place, then all the numbers of that date add up to a number which will give you the next date, and then that'll give you the next date, it'll give you the next date. And my favorite part is when he says, and when the numbers go over 30, he adds those two numbers up and then does it. So four, if it's 44, then 4 + 4 = 8.
You know what it's like. You know what it's like. It's like those WhatsApp forwards. Like, solve this if you are genius, and then it'll be like a series of numbers.
Yeah.
So if they had just written down this entire sequence and forwarded it on WhatsApp, some uncle would have cracked it. Like, eventually.
Yeah.
It's like those game advertisements. You know, you get on Instagram. Only 2% of people can solve this, but it's like the stupidest fucking problem you've heard in your entire life. And it's something like that. And also, I mean, I don't mind him doing the numerology thing. Maybe he's like a Jyotish or something on the side. Or I mean, he does have multiple faces and personalities. Maybe he trained to be a Jyotish at some point.
Yeah.
The idea of Abhishek Bachchan having multiple personalities and faces is just so baffling to me.
Ritik
possibly can be a Jyotish.
Yeah.
Would Ritik be the sexiest Jyotish?
Yes. Easily. I think Ritik's attractiveness has actually skewed my perception of this movie, because before we started recording, I told Yashasvi, there was some cool shit in this movie. He was like, yeah, like what? And I was like, oh yeah, Ritik walking in slow motion was cool. That's all I had for this.
But yeah, like this, like coming back to the plot in that scene, it's just like the way they plotted out the points on the map. How did this woman like not see it before. And like, firstly, why is his A skewed like a couple of degrees, 15 degrees to the left?
It's because he's edgy.
Like, what is going on here?
He's an edgy dude.
He's either a, like, you know how dogs pee on their territory. He's like, wo apna nishan banana chahta. I'm like, is he a mutt? What's going on?
That's the weirdest. Like, so we've discussed this before, right? Even on games and stuff. Like, when, if a villain has a very clear agenda, that's when they're interesting. Like, this is what I want to accomplish. That's why I'm doing these terrible things. His thing is that he wants to draw an A. Like, that's it. There's nothing else. Like, his whole thing is that he wants to draw an A like a child. Like, that's awful. What the fuck?
I think they tried to do it like, you know, like an Ocean's movie where they're like, oh, he's just doing it, you know, because, you know, he's talented at it and he likes doing it and he doesn't really have a motive behind it. But like, why? Why an A?
Yeah.
That's what it's not even like, who is going to look at it and say, ha, this guy's drawn an A over here. Like, who's going to see this? Who's seeing this? Who's going to see this A?
You can't see it from the moon. Nothing you can see.
Also, he failed to like, you know, acknowledge the curvature of the Earth. Because on a map, it looked like A. While on a globe, it looked like something else only, you know? So either Hrithik is a flat earther. He's like, in a very specific map, if you look at it, it looks like an A.
Like you don't get it.
No, I think the other thing is he really, really overestimates the general public's, you know, world geography knowledge. Like, nobody's going to make that connection. Like, oh yeah, Mumbai is the line that crosses it. Like, no, dude, why is he targeting these locations? Fuck knows.
which brings us to the second robbery. Which, yeah. Again, here. Now, I have some very pertinent questions for both of you.
Oh, okay. No.
So it could be in either one of two locations, and one of them is some fucking Rani ka Har or some shit like that, and the other is a diamond. Okay. So he sends Ali to the diamond and he's guarding the Har himself, Abhishek. And he's like, you know, I'm pretty sure the guy's gonna come steal this fucking necklace thing. Now he's stealing the diamond because the necklace is broken and the necklace is imperfect or whatever the fuck like that. That's fine. Now, Machi, do you know which scene he copied this from when he's at, like, a statue?
I could vaguely remember, but I couldn't place where it's from exactly.
Yeah, but, like, my question to both of you is, how the fuck did he get there to the statue, the wall of statues? Like, theek hai, he's potoed himself in, like, whatever, patti or kya bolta usko, dambar bolta hai, kuch bhi bolta.
And he looks great. He looks like a god. I'm not gonna lie. Looks... I would buy it.
Yeah,
statue
but yeah, but did he tiptoe across the museum and then, like, freeze every time someone saw him?
Yeah, it's like, that's how I picture it. Like, a comedic bit where he's just like, and he stops and he freezes. It's like a Looney Tunes bit.
Dude, like, I could like, think of it like a stealth mission where he's looking at, like, detection bars from the fucking cops over there. And, like, he just stops when the bar is filling up and then continues moving on again.
You're disregarding one thing when you're asking this question, because these guards don't see fuck all. So, like, if you notice, like, he literally does that whatever fucking robot he sends out, right? And it climbs onto the place where the diamond is. And no one, the guards walking everywhere around, their job is to protect this. They don't see it. They don't see it.
Have someone look at the diamond, dude. Literally, you could pay someone 20 rupees and say, keep looking at this diamond. If ever it's not there, let us know. And he would do it.
Okay, I think what's more baffling about that is that, I mean, I'm sure you guys have used, like, drones and any sort of remote control thing. The machines in it are loud. Like, hydraulics are not soft, silent, man. You can hear that. And, like, nobody can hear that. And, like I said, it's like looking at a stealth game, like a badly programmed stealth game. And, like, in my head, I could literally hear the Metal Gear Solid 5 tring, sound come up every time we turned around. Like, what?
No, but much you're failing to account for the fact that there was background music playing in that scene. So the guards could hear it. Because like there was background music playing on. But they should have known now because the background music's also like, oh, all stealth and steely. They're like, shit, background music badal gaya. Now it's gone from like normal to like someone's trying to
steal. It's become from ta-na, it's become ta-na-na-na. So it's very clear. The frequency has increased. But okay, you say this as a joke, right? But at the end, because I'm not going to bring it up later, Abhishek Bachchan at the end of this movie is humming the Dhoom tune. So I'm like, yeah, one second. So the Dhoom tune is canon. Like, everyone can hear it. He's humming it. So, that means every background music thing that happens in this movie, everyone's hearing, which is kind of cool, right? Like, if I was on a bike
It implies that in the Dhoom universe, backing tracks and background tracks are just part of it. So, yeah, like, nice. Every time you do something, there's background music.
I can get behind that. I'd like some background. As long as it's not the Dhoom background music, I can get behind that. like, that's about it. Because like, that should set me on edge, dude.
You know, the one that really got to me? And like, I guess we'll get to it. But Aishwarya Rai and Hrithik Roshan's their Loving Ka track, which is Mi Amar Ne Karasa. That one. Oh, it played every 2 minutes. And then the other one is La 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 la. I'm like, okay, we get it. Pyar hai. You don't have to fucking shove it down my throat.
You don't understand. It's not just pyar. It's Brazilian pyar.
Oh yeah. By the way, before I forget this, first Indian film to be shot in Brazil, Dhoom 2. Just fun fact.
Okay. Yeah, I would formally like to extend an apology to Brazil.
but like. Just so we can, I don't want to forget this, but like the scene immediately after he steals it, where he's escaping as the trash guy. That scene was watched by the guys from Corridor Digital, which are like, they're one of the best VFX, you know, teams out there on YouTube. They're so good. They watched that and they were mind blown by it. I don't mean in a bad way. For them, the liquid simulation that was going on with the acid, you know, coming up from his legs was like top tier, apparently. But it's just like the ridiculousness of it was like what pushed it over the top.
Implication that Bombay sewers have pure fountain water shooting out of them. Because let's be real, right? If that scene happened and you're actually using Bombay sewers, he'd be fucking shot out of the sewer with a pile of shit and piss. But here it's just pure spring mountain water you could apparently just scoop water out of.
I will say, like, of all the things that Hrithik did in the movie in terms of high stuff, that bit, even though it was very over the top and ridiculous, I did find cool. Like, I was like, I can get behind this. The bar is low, but I thought this was like, are kuch toh different they tried. Because even then, they didn't do shit like this in Bollywood movies, right? Like, that kind of an escape, going through the tunnel. It didn't have to be preceded by Amitabh Roshan, which is what we got. Which is Hrithik Roshan doing his best Amitabh Bachchan impression as the guy. But I thought it was fine. What I didn't like was the chase after. Shit.
That was just like wild, dude. What was going on over there? Like, this is the one where he switched to rollerblades, right? Right after this.
The rollerblade one.
Okay, wait. What I don't understand is, so first, when he's trying out his magnetic hands things, it was just powerful enough to, like, pull a ceramic cup to him, was it? Or was it something else?
It was a
Coke can. Yeah, please. Okay. It's just a Coke can. but like, now suddenly it has the force to, like, propel him from car to car. Like, what? Where is he running this electrical current from at this intensity?
It's a great ad for Coke, is what I know.
This whole chase sequence makes zero sense to me. Now, even if you ask a child, beta, what is faster? Hrithik Roshan on rollerblades, or actually leave the Hrithik Roshan part out. Someone on rollerblades versus someone in a helicopter, who would win?
It's like what baffles me is like what quality were those rollerblades? Because like Firstly, he's going on tar, and those bearings would have been completely dude, I had a skateboard, and my skateboard got wrecked in my society's tar road.
You like, tried to go down the slope on it like an idiot.
Yeah, but like, I mean, rollerblades, dude. It's like the entire road was made of like a skating rink. This thing, granite, what?
Yeah, but we've established that this is a utopian Bombay where the sewer water is clean as fuck and the roads are smooth. So,
one pothole would wreck his entire plan. You would just eat shit after going into one pothole.
Oh my god, so ridiculous.
And he's assuming that Bombay traffic is constantly moving. Has Hrithik Roshan ever lived in Bombay? Who directed this?
Let me answer this for you. Hrithik Roshan has not lived in Bombay. He's lived in his mansion. He doesn't know what's out there. He has no idea.
And then he's being shot at. Like, firstly, these guys are absolutely fine opening fire in vicinity of general public. When they know they have shitty accuracy already. And then my man, Jay, is standing on the helicopter with a sniper rifle, not looking through the scope, going full hip fire with it, trying to get accurate shots.
Also, no reloading. No reloading, right?
No reloading. And he's using two hands while sitting at the edge of the helicopter. Like, a slight turn will yeet him out.
Dude.
Like, if the helicopter moves a little bit, he's gonna be fucking watermelon paint on the fucking tarmac.
To dodge the shooting, by the way, Hrithik Roshan is literally gently gliding under a truck, like that whatever ramp. He's not even trying to avoid it. Yeah. He's slowly like, oh, I'm just going to dodge. Like, it's a fucking bullet. It'll hit you instantly. You can't.
Oh, wait. Oh, this really fucked me up. I was like, immediately after that, when Bipasha gets mad that they didn't catch him, she's like, because I'm using a Mauser and my bullet velocity is faster. I'm like, he's using a sniper rifle.
Like, also, speaking of Bipasha, because, you know, Hrithik gets away, obviously.
What? He does?
I will say, like, okay, let me ask you this, right? In the three Dhooms.
Wait, Karan. Hmm. That backing.
Ah, it's gone.
Okay, now you can talk. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, in the three Dhooms, has Abhishek Bachchan or Uday Chopra caught anyone besides that one side guy that they caught in Dhoom 1? Have they ever caught up to a chore and been like, yeah, we got you? Has that ever happened?
No, they all fall from high places and then get away. So you have John who rode off a cliff. We don't know if he died or not. You have Hrithik who fell off a cliff. Spoilers, guys. But we know he survived. We have Amir and Amir who jumped off the side of a dam and pretty sure they died. So they're 0-3 in the chore department.
Yeah, and stop going to cliffs, also, guys. Stop going to cliffs. You guys lose.
The other thing was that, okay, if they knew that there were two locations to go to, so you send your most skilled agents to one location, you send Uday Chopra to the other one? Is that like proper division of manpower and expertise?
Yeah, if Bipasha was so good, they could have had Abhishek at one place, Bipasha at the other place. Like, two competent people at two places.
Yeah. No, but then, that's the thing. They keep Bipasha out of all the cool stuff. Like, she's not part of any chase sequence. Have you noticed this? Except that one dumb one at the fourth that we'll get to later, which was like 2 seconds. They're always like, oh, Bipasha, you stay here. Yeah, you're the best cop. You're really good at shooting and stuff. But, like, we don't want you on the chase because Abhishek Bachchan has a big ego and thinks that he's the one that can only catch the thief, even though he's never caught a thief. It's so dumb.
Now, because they need to introduce, unfortunately, need to introduce Aishwarya Rai into this movie somehow. Ooh. Okay, and before I start the Aishwarya Rai slander, I just want to say, guys, I liked Aishwarya Rai and Devdas, I think.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, she was better than Shah Rukh. Yeah, she was better than Shah Rukh. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, anyone's better than Shah Rukh. Anyway, and I think she's got good performances under her belt. This is not one of them, man. I mean, she looks amazing, yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. But this is easily the worst performance I've seen by a lead role.
Yeah, that spray on tan really does pop. Especially when the scenes, like, where the lighting is on her face and you can see the tan lines around her eyes. That's it really pops.
Dude, it's upsetting.
They try to make them look like chicken rotisserie, honestly, both of them.
What was it? Aishwarya had it worse than Hrithik, and that's saying something, because Hrithik always has a lot of stuff on.
She was borderline jaundice. She was like literally borderline jaundice.
And like one of the things that I saw, like I read up on, is that they told Aishwarya Rai to lose weight for this. Like, it's weird because, like, it's like Aishwarya Rai is already really lean, and they were like, no, we need to draw. And you can tell because she looks like...
Yeah, really, she did look kind of scrawny in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, it was like, remember Kareena and Tashan, where it got uncomfortable? Like, dude, has she been eating it all? Like, what's going on? Like, it was kind of like that. It was, I don't know why they needed it. Did they need it for her character? Her character prefers eating burgers to salads. Like, it would have been okay if she just looked...
Oh my god. Fucking ridiculous, dude. Because, like, she says, oh, you know, do you have any, like, burgers or anything? I'm like, you've not eaten a burger in 8 months.
Yeah, dude. Fuck you. Oh, bizarre. But I will say this in defense of Aishwarya. I don't think anyone could say the dialogue that she was given and seem okay. Like,
which one?
Holy
was it?
Shit.
Any of them.
Any. No, so, okay. Are you checking me out? Sunari ko like, aisa lagta hai ki tum, you know, she talks. This is how she talks all the time. It's a lot. It's relentless. And she keeps saying, funny guy. Dude, like, why couldn't they just have her talk like a normal person? Why did they have to give her a thing?
Like, in my head, I had like this my headcanon where at some point she's going to call him Ruffle Buntai, but that never happened. I was very disappointed.
But this whole, so he's supposed to flee the country, but then some copycat is saying they're going to steal the talwar or some shit from some fort. And they identify themselves as the criminal, whatever. And tell me this, is there actually like a crazy fan following for bank robbers and heist people like that I don't know about?
I mean, there is like, there's like crazy people that go behind serial killers. Like, that's a thing, right?
I know serial killers is a thing. Yeah, serial killers is a thing. Where everyone stands serial killers for some reason. I mean, I'm not going to say you do you in this one because you guys are fucking insane and locked up. So don't do you. Fuck you guys. But like, I think standing robbers is slightly better than standing serial killers. But is there a proper, like, you know how you have K-pop subcultures and stuff like that? Uh-huh. Is there one for bank robbers and like heist people?
I mean, not that I've heard of.
If they look like Hrithik, sure.
But they don't know that, right? You know, how can you know that?
Yeah, I don't know.
This guy was very quick to abandon his agenda. You know, like, I haven't had the heist to pull off in a while, but hey, wait, let me just put everything on hold over here and like give my ticket to some random kid who randomly decided to talk to me at an airport. Because that happens.
Some tournament, something, something like that, no?
Yeah, because that happens. And anyway, I'm going to give him my ticket and I'm going to go see who this copycat of me is. Because like, I want to prove to her that she's the copycat. I mean, like, I don't see the point in that. Like, why would you want to do that? Just let her do it and fail.
Lose.
And then you're like, lamao, that wasn't me.
Lekin, chori ke kuch asool hota hai. Chori ke kuch asool hota hai. So that's why. Which is, he keeps talking about these asool, but never telling us what they are. He randomly makes them up. He's like, oh yeah, they're, you know, whoever steals the thing, they own the prize, some shit. Like, I was like, what is this? Yeah. Like, there's a credo suddenly among thieves. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Also to like prove how bad Suneri is as a robber and how good Hrithik is. So I'm assuming she had some time to plan this robbery out and Hrithik only had 24 hours, but he knew everything about the place. Right? Mm. And then when Suneri finally reaches to like steal the thing, he's like, oh, don't you know there's security lasers and death Roombas that come out when you touch it? And oh my god, they get surrounded by cops in a second and no one thinks to fucking shoot them.
Yeah, I mean,
they just stand there with their guns out.
Yeah, it's
shoot them.
It's ridiculous. I think, you know what I think? Hrithik, when he was drawing like a straight A, because now his A is tilted. I think when he was drawing a straight A, this location was part of his A. You know? But then he was like, no, main thoda cool banta hun. So when he shifted it, no, it's not there anymore. That's why he knows so much about it. Because he's done research on it. You know, I was also thinking about this. Why does he know so much about this place? I think that's why.
Because he's a straight A student.
Like, okay, so this girl goes in without a sound plan. I mean, why not just watch her get wrecked from afar and enjoy that?
Yeah, and then steal it anyway. Be like, psych, like, it was me.
This user as a pawn.
But he's also watching the movie and he knows that it's Aishwarya Rai, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So he's also... It's the same concept that we've discussed in so many movies. Now everyone seems to be watching the movie while they're in the movie.
And also the background track changed from ten to like Mi Amor something in Spanish. No, not Spanish, Portuguese, because they're going to Brazil.
Always.
Is it in Spanish or Portuguese? I don't even know. They speak Portuguese.
I have a theory that they just knew these two words and they made the song from that. I don't think there was that much
Amor and Corazon.
Anyway, so firstly, the other thing is when those guys rush in, there's like 20 guys in fetas rushing into the room. And obviously, they were standing outside the door and realized that, okay, nobody's coming from the door. Where else could they have come in from? The top. And where do you think they're going to exit from? The top. But there's nobody there. Like, imagine if somebody was just up there and was just able to cut the line.
Or like, you know, bonk them on the head when they reach the top. Like, they shoot up and they reach the roof and someone just takes a club and goes like, bonk.
Yeah, that would be a good moment to tell Hrithik Roshan to go to horny jail. That would be a good...
But that's the horny thing, though. Like, their interactions, even before they fall in love or anything, are super horny. Like, it's like two attractive people just have to, like... gravitate towards each other regardless. It's so bizarre. They start talking to each other. She's asking for a job and it's like really sexual. I'm like, what's this? It's weird.
But don't your most job interviews are sexual, right?
Yes, I think you need to talk to someone about this. I don't think that's how it's not supposed to.
Anyway, so moving on from that disturbing tidbit. So they escape not before Hrithik completely ruins Bipasha Basu's elbow. Kick landed flush on her elbow. There's no chance it hasn't shattered every fucking bone in that. And Bipasha is in a leg cast after that.
I guess he really hit her in the funny bone.
Wow. Man, they really didn't want Bipasha. And it's confusing to me because the whole point of Bipasha being there, I think I know sort of why, is Rimi Sen was in Dhoom 1, right? And Rimi Sen, by the time Dhoom 2 came out, was not relevant anymore. So they didn't want to have Rimi Sen in there, but they couldn't. She was like his actual wife. So they found a way out. They made her pregnant and they got Bipasha so that Abhishek can flirt with someone in the first half. And then in the second half, they were like, so if you're getting Bipasha to replace, then just stay with her. No, why do you have to do this switch? So
basically, what happens in Bollywood, right? Like, the wife gets pregnant and then gets sidelined while the actor goes and flirts with another actress and then gets her pregnant and then puts her on the sideline and goes and flirts with another actor. Does this sound familiar to anyone?
Speaking of Aishwarya Rai, anyway, the next scene is... Don't they escape? What happens after that? Yeah. So
they escape to a sewer again.
Yeah, I mean, like, he grabs her, he jumps off the fort, and like they escape into a sewer, and by breaking through concrete, and enter the sewer, which is spectacularly clean. There's no sewage
with
around.
Mood lighting,
and a very well lit sewer in like just in general terms, and she decides to take off her suit to like. The text sexy lady on the floor. Okay. I'll give that one a pass because like what the fuck, but anyway.
So
but bizarre. Yeah, that happened. She's completely fine with completely revealing her identity to him when he's like not even firstly he's not wearing a very, you know, mask that leaves too much to your imagination or something. Like, you can fucking see most of his face.
Like, I love Hrithik.
This whole movie is like that.
The main issue with this movie, everything else was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I didn't catch on to this the first 100 times I watched it as a kid, is that Hrithik was supposed to look different in every scene, and only in the scene where they're doing that shitty rock climbing thing, like more than halfway through the movie, is when she knows what he looks like.
It's so funny. Like,
dude, he has looked the same throughout. If you give him long hair and a goatee and try to make him look Brazilian, he's not going to look Brazilian. It's Hrithik Roshan.
It's okay? Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. If we cast Hrithik Roshan, he's going to look like Hrithik Roshan no matter what you do. You cannot un-Hrithik Hrithik.
I think the only good disguise thing I've ever seen from any of these actors was when Aamir Khan did those Coca-Cola ads. And they were horribly cultural appropriation and like whatever costume party shit and that, where he dressed up as a Sherpa. And I didn't know it was Aamir Khan. I mean, now looking back, he shouldn't have dressed up as a Sherpa, thinking about it.
I vaguely remember this, but I need to go watch this again.
Yeah, but he didn't look like Aamir Khan. I'm like, yeah, why don't you do that? But don't dress up as a Sherpa, maybe.
You can't do that, Hrithik, right? You just can't do it. Like, they tried with, like, Super 30, where they were like, yeah, he's this person. And you're like, no, you're just brown-facing him. It's really weird, guys. Stop it.
No, but I guess, like, most of their budget went on the bikes. Wait, what? No, that couldn't be where it went.
Dude, honestly, they could have just put, like, two toy bikes on like a Hot Wheels track or something and shot those scenes. Because that's how they weren't important. The bikes were not, they didn't need the bikes, honestly. Just fucking do something else then. If Hrithik's not gonna, I think, did Hrithik learn how to ride a bike for this? You think?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe he already knew how to ride one.
At the end, he was riding a bike, but like, it was at the speed of 20. Like, I think it was even slower than when Dhoom 1 was happening. So, anyway.
Nothing is slower than Dhoom 1. Anyway, so, yeah, now they're going to Brazil because apparently that's where the next robbery is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, right. Like, I don't remember how Brazil fits onto the map with the A.
There's a bunch of filler in the middle where, like, they go to a movie theater where he's dressed like Rohit from...
That was the reveal.
That was the reveal that Aishwarya Rai is working with Abhishek, right? Like,
yeah,
and I'm just gonna bring this up now because it's a lot of their interactions throughout. Abhishek's like a fucking asshole to Aishwarya, and I'm like, dude,
yeah,
even though she's working for you, like, you don't have to be a dick about it. Yeah, she's a criminal, but you're trying to get your shit done, right? Do you want a person that was a criminal who you put in there as a mole prove to her that actually cops are assholes so that she'll side with a more handsome, attractive chore who's, like, nice to her, you know? Like, why would he do that?
Also, he's very handsome, isn't he?
My point is,
did he necessarily need to use a chore for this? He could just put, like, an undercover cop.
No,
but
skill,
he needed the skills, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, skill level.
I
will say this, right? Like, when Aishwarya Rai is training under Hrithik, right? There's no training. Like, she's literally just like, she's literally, all she does is they jump off a cliff together, which I guess ties into the end, and they eat different foods. Like, in the training montage of Aishwarya Rai, she's just eating different stuff and not actually trying to become a chore or helping him with the robberies. It's like,
yeah,
what?
But they're both sexy, so, like, it's fine.
Yes, because all robberies involve rock climbing. I think, like, we know some people who can attest to that. Rock climbing is the core to everything.
Not even rock climbing, rock jumping, just jumping off, like bungee jumping. That's all.
Base jumping.
Not even climbing. Yes.
That's like straight up base jumping. And and like the training montage had nothing. And also the scene in the movie theater, how did Hrithik Roshan not realize that she's sitting next to the cop who is in charge of this investigation? He's not wearing a disguise either.
He's wearing a cap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. That's my bad.
And then
my bad.
He did slightly this. Like, he lowered the cap slightly, so...
Yeah, you know, definitely covers your key features.
And they were watching Cars, and I was kind of jealous because, like, I could be watching Cars right now instead of watching Doom 2.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Anyway. Rohit
makes the cameo, which is what, like, I liked about.
That was a great.
You know, it's a like throwback to Koi Mil Gaya.
That was a great moment. Exactly. The best moment in the movie. But I think I don't remember. Like, I think this is the part in the movie where I started like dissociating and picking up my Switch to play Pokemon. But everything after this, I don't remember very clearly. But I do remember the burger scene vaguely, and like for some reason, I remember both of them meeting at a restaurant. This was Hrithik Roshan and Abhishek Bachchan.
Yeah.
For what reason, I don't remember, because I don't think it was explained very well either.
No, it's see, because he always has to have a heart-to-heart with the robber before he ends up losing the robber. Because that happened in Doom 1 as well, where he meets him at the whatever. Where does he meet him? At the bar, right?
He meets him at the bar. Yeah. They talk on the phone a bunch. I feel like John and Abhishek was a more stronger relationship. Like, they cared about each other more. You know, they just had more of a... They had, you know, long distance with our phone pay. They used to talk and stuff. I feel like Hrithik, it was just like a couple. It was more lust. You know, I feel like with Hrithik, it wasn't a deep connection from Abhishek, personally.
I mean, he only has two modes like Hrithik. He either has lust or Rohit. That's it. That's the only... Which is weird, because in Super 30, he's teaching kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, which one is he, man?
I don't want to say.
I hope it was Rohit, but I don't think it was Rohit, man.
I think, you know how we were talking about how, Abhishek, like, what is the objective of these chores in these movies, right? It's never clear what they want. Yeah, and I think it's literally just, like, Abhishek's fantasy. Like, they're doing the robberies for him because he gets off on it. Like, it literally just feels like that. Like, no one else cares, but Abhishek cares about this pattern. And, you know, I'll catch him there. Then we'll have coffee together. You know, like, remember they sit down and they talk. In that scene, by the way, where Abhishek's sitting at the cafe and Hrithik comes in. Does Hrithik know that this is Abhishek? Like, does he know that he's Jay Dixit?
No.
So they're just two people who happen to sit down at the same table. No relation.
But why? Yeah. Why would that even be a thing?
I don't know. I think because sexy lag raha hai, sahi. But speaking of being attracted to weird things, we have dumb Bipasha.
Oh yeah,
come down. Uh-huh. And Bipasha is like supposed to be the stupid twin in this, and this is so frustrating because this is like the epitome of like dumbing down and infantilizing someone just to be like, you know, the object of some fantasy. And look, you know, I used to find that bit funny with Ali, where he used to like look at a girl and then imagine a future with them. Mm. And like, that was funny after a point, but this was just uncomfortable because now he's imagining a future with like someone who's effectively mentally a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Also, again, in normal situations, I'd be like, you know, you do you, but please fuck off, Ali. But yeah, anyway.
Ali's the one.
And for some reason, she can understand his Hindi.
Yeah.
Like how? Why? She says that she doesn't understand.
Abhishek speaks Hindi and she doesn't get it. But Uday speaks and she gets it. And I'm like, what's going on here? And what was the point of her? What did she do in the movie? What did she do?
She was just eye candy. That's about it.
Yeah, like, pretty much. She was just there for those item numbers, and then like she was out after that. I didn't see her in the movie after that.
She didn't even give info. She gave no information. Let's say we go along with the twin. Fuck it. She didn't even give them any key piece of information as a local there about maybe the museum or like something like that. Like she was, they could have done that very easy. It would have made sense. But she was just there so that Uday Chopra could be Uday Chopra and be weird.
Honestly, like, that part was such a heavy drop off in the fucking movie itself that I'm getting bored discussing it right now.
Yeah,
get to the juicy shit.
Yeah, because let's say this, right? We said this in Doom as well. The first half we were very into, and the last half an hour maybe really falls off, like the last bit. I think Doom 2 already wasn't that high up in terms of how exciting it was. And then it dropped off heavily into a movie that I'm like, so you guys are just sitting around and eating. And no one's planning a... Someone do your work. Like, no one's doing their job in this movie. Everyone's like, haan, party karte na, wahan khate na, yahan pe jaate na. I'm like, dude, who's planning the heist then? Who's trying to plan to stop
that? Here's how stupid the heist is. They cosplay as Snow White's dwarves and steal a couple of coins. And they escape because they went on the assumption that Ali would tell the guards to let the children go out, unsupervised children go out, and they blended in with the children. So were they on their knees when they went out? Can someone explain this to me?
Yeah, they crawled out on their knees.
Wait, before they got out, let me just talk about their disguises. Why were their eyes darting around the room continuously, like in complete circles? Like, it was ridiculous. Like, that would have put people on edge. Just like, what? I can't even explain it. It's so ridiculous.
I think we skipped a bit that I do want to discuss. Because
sure,
this is Aishwarya Rai. Like Hrithik Roshan finding out that Aishwarya Rai is a mole, right?
No, that's after.
No, not after the heist. The spider stuff
Pretty sure it's after.
It's before. Yeah. She makes the decision.
It's
so nuts because like we get a brief glimpse, you know, because with the whole movie, you said Hrithik has two modes. I think Hrithik also has a third mode, which is the Mujhse Dosti Karogi mode, where he goes full insane. Where he goes full psychopath. Like, it's like he's a robot made in a lab, right? And like there's a glitch in the system and he's just like fucking freaking out because this is the most insane scene I've seen with the Russian roulette thing. Dude, holy shit. He literally, I don't want to ask this, but like this is gaslighting, right? Like to a different level. Gaslighting.
You don't have to ask it. It's definitely...
It's worse than gaslighting.
Slightly problematic behavior. You know when you're doing Russian roulette with someone, you think it's slightly problematic behavior. Also appropriating Russian culture. Yeah, but...
It makes no sense.
Hrithik once more takes like the opportunity to get his makeup kit out and be like disguise himself as a carnival guy to see that Suneri's working with Abhishek Bachchan.
Yeah.
And Abhishek's being a complete dick to her. He's like, oh, you have to choose. Do you want like a crooked cop or an honest chore? And
she's Abhishek, like, you know what's going on in 2020? No, we don't want a crooked
but
cop.
Is he a crooked cop? Like, he's just an asshole.
Yeah, but to her, he's
overall
like,
a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Like, it's just to her, he's a dick. So, but I don't know why. Because like, he's not really a dick to Ali, if you think about it. Because he takes him along to everything. Right?
I mean, I think it's like because she's a criminal and he has zero respect for her already, so he's just like, you know, not into
it. But he's joking off to whatever Hrithik's doing. No, like everything Hrithik's doing, he's like,
The way talks to and about Hrithik is just so like, oh, I'm so in awe of you. Why don't we just kiss already? And the day before the chori, we have like an item number where he knows Hrithik is the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, right. Hrithik looks so good. I must add. Oh, he looks so good.
I skipped that part. It was just
Hrithik. I mean, you didn't miss out on much apart from the fact that Hrithik's abs again just go all the way down to his nutsack.
My God. And this is not even the most ripped he's gotten. Like he's gotten way more ripped since then. But he looked really good here. Like after a while.
No, but real talk. How much do you think Hrithik benches?
I mean,
I'd say park bench.
Yeah, park bench.
Hard park venture.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this song also had that cool effect where they became like it was like that gaming loading characters thing. You know, like where they started
like Overwatch, yeah. Overwatch.
Ooh, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I definitely miss this because like I fast forwarded all the songs in the movie because they're just so bad. Speaking of the music, was it done by A.R. Rahman?
No, of course
I not. Hope not because like in the middle I felt like I could hear his voice somewhere in the middle.
No, you were just hoping it would be A.R. Rahman, but it wasn't.
Yes. Hey man, he's done some terrible shit. Like let's not talk about that.
Mohenjo-daro, dude.
Mohenjo-daro. I didn't like Rangila that much either.
Yeah, I mean, it was iconic at the time. 2016.
I really don't like the Rangila soundtracks, but you know, ratio-wise, Rahman's done way more good shit.
Yeah, he's got like a huge body of work at this point. And speaking of body of work and bodies, Hrithik Roshan and guns.
Yeah,
and Russian roulette.
No, Hrithik Roshan as Snow White's dwarf.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Playing also, an instrument also, apparently.
I do wanna. Yeah. I want to talk about something uncomfortable really quick, guys. Are you ready?
Is it the...
The kiss. The kiss. So, after the whole, like, oh, I'm going to shoot you, there's no bullet in the chamber, basically. Right? That's what they find out.
Shooting blanks.
Wait, just like, to interrupt you there, was that, like, sign for him being impotent or something?
Maybe. That's why he steals so much shit just to get, like... Get off on it, you know?
Yeah.
That's his legacy because he cannot have children.
So, yeah. I was thinking about it, right? I was analyzing, as you do, about why the kiss was weird. Like, you know, and Bollywood kisses in general are weird, but this was especially uncomfortable. And it's because Aishwarya Rai isn't participating in the kiss at all.
Exactly. Really, oh my God. I thought about this. I literally thought about this when this was happening. Oh my God, dude. It put me on edge.
Hrithik's going, look, I don't want to, oh God. He's going full tongue. And like Aishwarya Rai is not, and it made me so uncomfortable because I'm like, what are the implications of this? That Aishwarya Rai was not on board with this scene? Like that's uncomfortable.
Hrithik just kind of lunged for it is what I felt. And I'm sure I was like, yeah, this is in the contract. Oh, God.
Oh, I don't know why. Okay, look, I don't know why at 9 a.m. today I was analyzing a kiss and why it looked weird. But here we are. And
It was definitely weird. Like, I did think about this too during that scene. It's like her lips are like immobile. And this guy is like going all out. And it was very, very weird. And I'm like, okay, is this like back to being 16 or something? You know, when you're having your first kiss in general and you don't know what to do with your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not that bad.
Yeah.
That was not that bad, yeah. My God. Hrithik, man. Jesus, fuck.
Calm down.
It was like him giving CPR to a dummy.
Man, if that's how you're gonna give CPR. Oh God. I mean, RIP to Aishwarya, but I'm different. Anyway.
The P in Hrithik CPR stands for predator.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so back to the speaking of kissing, back to the seven dwarves.
Yeah, no, listen, okay, so now a final heist in a movie, right, in a heist movie, this is a heist movie, it's not a racing movie, the final heist has to be cool, right, some shit needs to go down.
Yeah.
But here, they don't even show the heist is so stupid, they don't even show them stealing the coins.
Yeah, it's like, so what,
they just elbow through the glass and like scoop up the coins, that's your big heist?
It's like the budget.
At least do one. No, at least in Dhoom 1, they cut through the ceiling, they lowered themselves down, they filled the money in the bags, went back up, closed the ceiling. That something happened, right?
Yeah.
And they were stupid enough to not realize that there might be cameras inside. But my point is, like, that the final heist was just brushed past, and then they're on bikes suddenly in the stupidest chase sequence in history.
Oh, yeah, the Mission Impossible 2 ripoff, yes.
Yeah. It does have an iconic...
All the Mission Impossible movies you want to rip off,
I don't know. I mean, like, wait. Let's not bag on 2. 2 is one of my favorite Mission Impossible.
Machi, that's because you grew up when Mission Impossible, like, you were at the perfect age to watch Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible 2 is the weakest of the Mission Impossible.
It has a lot of elements that make me love it, which one of them was Limp Bizkit, the other one was Metallica.
Yeah.
Okay, Limp Bizkit was pretty sick.
Tom Cruise with long hair.
As a kid, Mission Impossible 2 was cool because of Tom Cruise's hair and like the bike chase, right? There was like a cool bike chase in it, I think. But yeah, it's the weakest one. I will say, all of this was worth it for me. All of this dumb, stupid heist. For the iconic Abhishek Bachchan line, yaar, Snow White ke to seven dwarves hote hai na? My favorite reveal of someone just going, yo, that children's book that I read was worth $7. There's only five. Where's Grumpy and Dopey? Like,
thank you, detective. Thank you, Sherlock Holmes.
Wait, also, can we talk about the really badly CGI'd insects? Like, oh, what? They were so badly CGI'd that even me with the crippling insect phobia, I was not afraid of them either. And like, even a fly will set me off. But nope, I was like, okay, this is crabs from a beach. Really badly done. PS1 graphics, crabs on a beach. Like, what is going on here? Like,
at that point, it's just easier to release real insects.
I'm thinking about it, and I actually, if I go back and think about it in like context of real life, if I look around and at my feet there are PS1 graphics crabs, I'm gonna be pretty scared. Like, why are there crabs made out of 4 pixels over here? What the fuck is going on?
Why aren't they rendering properly? Oh my god, I'm in a simulation. Yeah, that's what it's gonna be.
Also, such an underwhelming way to the fucking insects in a heist movie where it's about to be, it's like about how sleek you are and how you figured out the fucking Safeco code and shit. Just ending with this.
To be fair, if you wanted to get past me, if I was a detective, then that was the right way to go. But just in general cases, no. You don't want to do that. Plus, how do insects in a bag like that, and like, how are they alive? And also the quantity of them that were in that small bag.
Yeah, did they walk in with that? Wouldn't get squished.
That bag
was be like, why are you carrying around a bag of spiders?
Yeah, that bag was like the clown car of spiders, dude. Like, what? Like, he opened it and it's like a millionth of them come out. Enough to fill up the room.
You know what would happen? Like, in a real life situation, he just would show up with a jute bag of spiders. He'd topple it over and dead spiders would roll out. And then one of the dwarves would be like, why are you roaming around with a bag of dead spiders? He'd be like, heist, and then he'd run into a wall.
The thing is, like, maybe it's because it's like Hrithik's supposed to be like the chore and we're supposed to be rooting for Abhishek. I don't think that's the case, but like, maybe that's why we don't get to see the workings of any of his heists. So like, when he's doing this, like, where are those spiders from? Like, is he like, you know, raising them in his mansion? Like, where did he get them from? What the
if
fuck?
Chore bad, why hot?
Yeah, that's a lot of that. And I, you know what, I just said this, but I retract my statement. I don't think this movie even wanted you to not root for Hrithik. Like, at least with John Abraham, he was cool and sexy, yes. But he had, like, this, like, he was kind of an asshole boss. He was ruthless. He was a dick to a lot of his, like, he was cold-blooded. You know, like, he destroys that car also in the beginning. You know, all this kind of stuff. Like, he's got a side to me where, like, oh, this guy's kind of evil. But Hrithik is just cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's just cool. So poor Abhishek Bachchan, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Abhishek Bachchan gets to look like a chomu because it's like, yeah, you're the dumb
when
one.
When is he not look like a chomu?
Okay. You haven't seen Bluff Master? Don't say anything, okay? Best movie ever.
But yeah, I think like for me, the part after that high scene was a little bit blur as well, because like I couldn't figure out where Mission Impossible, where Dhoom 2. Nah, I'm just fucking I'm pretty clear with Mission Impossible with Dhoom 2, but for some reason it felt like Abhishek Bachchan was chasing Hrithik Roshan, who was using what bike was he using?
Was it a Hayabusa?
I think it was a red Hayabusa, but why is he chasing him with a Passion Pro?
Hero Honda Passion. It's weird because Hrithik was the brand ambassador for Hero Honda back then.
Yeah. The Charisma. Wait, didn't the Charisma come out with Dhoom 2?
No, the Charisma came out with the Dhoom edition.
Yeah, it came out with the 2 edition, right? Which had the side guards and all that.
The red side guards, red and black side guards, yeah. Didn't look bad for like a Charisma, I must say.
It looked decent.
As a non bike person, right? I in Dhoom they really sold me on why these bikes were cool and like, you know, that whole NOS thing, however ridiculous it was. It was cool as a kid because I was like, oh shit, you just press this button and it goes faster. How cool! Here they didn't even. Here it was just like the most tired. Like, oh yeah, oh fuck, this bike's here by the way. Like, ha, do 2 minute ka chase kar lo. Uske baad, you know, of course we're going to the cliff. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. The USP of Dhoom was the bikes. That was it.
Just once, I wanted a heist pulled off on an RX-100.
Oh, man.
A Yamaha RX-100.
I'd get behind that. But like...
I mean, not a real heist, because all real heists are honestly pulled off on RX-100s. Every chain snatcher has an RX-100. But I'm talking about movies specifically.
What really got me about that scene is like they tried to do the chicken scene from Mission Impossible 2 with the bikes.
Yeah.
But they did chicken out of doing the scene. I think that's what they went with. Like,
in Mission Impossible 2, they bang into each other, right?
They don't bang into each other, do they? I don't remember clearly. No, but he does a swap. Yeah, they do like a swap or like a turn or something like that.
Yeah, they swerve away and they fall. But here he just like rides to the cliff. He's like, okay, climax, I'll get you, let's go home.
He goes towards the cliff and jumps off, and then my boy jumps behind him and manages to match the velocity and the drift of a parachute.
Yeah.
Without one.
And he clearly misses, by the way, but then he's caught him somehow.
The trajectory is way off, but then suddenly just lands on Rithik.
I mean, magnetism. Honestly, the trajectory being way off was the believable part, because how are you going to get that much fucking glide?
See, Rithik is so sexy, he has his own gravitational field.
Yeah.
Also, like, everyone just chipputs to him.
It's true. Yeah, and then they have like, remember when we did the Dhoom episode, we talked about their fight being underwhelming, like the Dhoom fight, like the on top of the truck or whatever? This was like even worse. This was like even less. I think they fought for maybe 10 seconds. And it was over.
And now the punches actually connect. Like in this one, you can clearly see them not connecting. I mean, I don't know why I expected at least that level of effort. But you can see it whiz past Hrithik Roshan's nose. And I'm like, okay, man. But why? It's just like, just make a little bit of contact, man. But
I were a stuntman and I had the opportunity to punch Hrithik in the face, I'd take it. I don't care if I get fired.
I don't think they had the budget for stuntmen because they kind of spent on the bikes. Oh, wait. No, wait. What?
No, but like, imagine like, you know, you get to punch Hrithik and see if he actually bleeds. Like, is he human or like does like motor oil spew out of his face? Like, what? What's going on there?
Hrithik doesn't bleed.
If he bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah, so anyway, Aishwarya Rai shoots Hrithik, he dies sexily, but he does not die because of the power.
There is also no blood splatter, there is nothing of the sort to indicate that this man is being shot, there is no puncture wounds on him happening in real time, there is no semblance of ballistics in that scene at all.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
And also, here's my question.
Yeah.
Abhishek Bachchan doesn't, and he does this fucking every time. Why isn't there a search party to find where the body is or something like that? Like, you know, Abhishek Bachchan's like, I knew you'd gotten away or whatever. Why didn't you go and check where he was? He's not like that far away. Right?
It wasn't that high. He could just go like go down and be like, body ka hai.
Body ka hai. But they were like, no, now, aray, pyar se, the bullets of love hit him. No, so now he's gone. What?
And he just let her go.
He let her go.
Like, how does that even work? What does he say to the fucking his higher ups? Like, she shot him, so I think I'm just gonna let her go.
He let her go, and so they justify this later, where Hrithik tells him like, "Oh, that's why you let Suneri go, because you knew that she would lead me to you, like." Yeah, lead you to me. But like, why? What? Like, how did he know that? Like, he didn't know all this. He didn't know it at that moment. And what was Rithik's plan?
He does. Because he's like the smart.
No, wait. If he is that smart, then why did he let her find him? Is he that much of a simp?
Also, what was Rithik's plan? Because he didn't know that Abhishek was going to let Aishwarya go. So.
Yeah, if he just arrested her?
Yeah. So then he would just let her like get fucking put in jail. What was his plan? Didn't make sense.
He'd make a new heist to break her out of jail, but while doing so, he'll try to create an A symbol by breaking other people out of jail in different countries.
You gotta make an A. And then I guess we end at the cafe. Yeah, Rithik's alive and they're now cooking because they like very vaguely reveal that Rithik likes cooking. Like, you know, when they was making fucking salads, not even cooking.
fucking hilarious because Hrithik hasn't had a carb in 40 years.
Yeah, and he's promoting Coke and he's like taking a sip and I'm like, no, you're not. Fuck you. You never had a
protein shake in that. Fuck you.
I remember this. Okay, this is super vague. Okay, this is the note we end on. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. It's really dumb. I don't know why I remember this. But there was an article that came out when Dhoom 2 had released. And it was about how Dhoom 2 has defined the how men are viewed. Because both the men in this movie are cooking and it's really sexy. And there was like a 4-page article on it. On how Dhoom 2 has revolutionized the role of men. Something like that. I was like... And by the way, I also read it. So I don't know who's at fault here. Yeah,
I mean, Dhoom really does set achievable body standards, mm-hmm. body image,
yeah,
with Hrithik Roshan.
Oh man, like honestly, like dude, I struggled very hard to get through this movie, which was not the case with Dhoom 1. I mean, like, yeah, I did struggle a bit with Dhoom 1, but I wasn't like completely disengaged like I was with this one. It had nothing. It had nothing going for it. Like, there were no cool heist scenes. There were no, like, bike racing scenes. There was more food scenes and, like, random dialogue and unnecessary Uday Chopra scenes. I don't...
That's pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for this coming out for Dhoom. Yeah. And we're definitely going to call you for Dhoom 3, so...
Yeah, oh, good luck with that, buddy. God. Good luck.
Good luck with that.
Oh man, what have I gotten myself into? Oh shit. Hopefully like Dhoom 3 is a better watch, because I actually not seen Dhoom 3.
Oh, okay. Good luck. Good
luck. Poor bastard.
I hope it's better than this at least, but let's see. I think it's been almost a year since we did the Dhoom episode, so I think that's the kind of recharge time that I need before watching Dhoom 3.
See you in 2022.
Yeah, I think like 2022 is the year of Dhoom 3 for me, and I think that's all I can handle then. But yeah, overall, I don't know how you guys end this, but for me, I'm still questioning why I'm alive and why I spent my Saturday night doing this.
Same, dude. Same.